Hello, hello, everybody. Thank you again for joining this week's teleconference on all things stock market and coronavirus related. My name is Mark Roberts, owner of Affinity Asset Management. Yet another teleconference where we have very large attendees, very large number of people joining in today's teleconference from all over the United States. And I want to say hi to Mike Vinstock up in Minneapolis, a longtime friend, brilliant mind, known him for 24 years. A large group of his clients up in the Minneapolis area are also joining on today's teleconference. And I also want to say a big thank you to a lot of you guys here on this call. We just continue to get emails, phone calls, text messages, just thanking us for like literally doing our job, thanking us and praising us for doing what we're doing for you guys, doing these things that we're going through all together in this coronavirus. And your gratitude means a lot to us. Just want to say thank you for your thank yous. That means a lot to us. All right, so let's get some performance update. Last week, the stock market was positive, 2.5%. This week, Monday, market was down negative 0.45, so about a half percent. Yesterday was down 1.9%. And today, right now, the market is at 2 o'clock. Market's down about 2.25%. Not a good day today. So let's get into some tidbits. Oh, I'm sorry. Market since February 19th high, after the drop and the regain on the rally a little bit, market's still negative 19%. And the bonds, since we got into the bonds, we had one bad week and we've had seven good solid weeks afterwards. The bonds are basically right out about even so far for that time frame. And again, the bonds pay dividends on a monthly basis, so we just haven't seen the next round of dividends come through just yet. Tidbits. Today, stocks are down pretty sizable from Fed Chairman Powell's announcement that we are going to have a prolonged recession. Just him coming out and talking about that just caused the market to drop here today. We are now 4 weeks in a row of being flat, very low volatility. The first, at the beginning, we had a 35% drop that lasted about 5 weeks long, and then we had a short little rally for a couple of weeks that gained back 18% of that. And that's basically from the stimulus package, the CARES stimulus package announcement that came out. And then followed by that, we've had 4 weeks in a row of being flat. And that's kind of where we're hovering at right now. The market is between 22 and 24,000 on the Dow, just not moving too much. As a reminder, this means that we've seen data point 1, 2, and 3. We're currently at data point 3, not moving much at all. The data point is just kind of moving somewhere between 22 and 24,000 on the Dow. But we haven't seen data point 4 yet. I had put into our Monday email a graph that shows six rallies of 9% or better that came after the 2008 stimulus package. Back then they called it TARP, T-A-R-P. And we didn't see the lowest low come until 6 months after that stimulus package was released. So the stimulus package comes out, there's optimism. We had rally, drop, rally, drop, rally, drop, six different times. And each one of those little rallies was like 9% or better. But the lowest low, even at that point up into that stimulus package, the lows that we had, we saw a deepest low, the lowest low, come 6 months after that stimulus package was put out there. So I put that in the Monday email. Couple thoughts. First, the past obviously does not guarantee the future, but it's a good way to study things. Second, where we are now is very different than past recessions and market corrections. We have never had such a shutdown and a turn off of the economy. We haven't had such a spike in unemployment in 1 month since 1945. And most of you weren't even around in 1945, and you were way too young to even know what was going on. And then third, we have a virus that is strongly and widely assumed that a second wave of this will come, and the severity of it will be based on the creation and the availability of a vaccine. I have talked with a couple clients who are in the medical industry that create drugs and do the research on drugs. And all three of them that I talked with, or three different companies, they've all said it's very, very likely that we have a vaccine created. It just has to go through all the trials and all the testing, and that takes months and months before that can ever make it to the market to be sold and actually used for public. Because you have to sample it, you got to try it, and then I guess there has to be research and research and research off that. And then maybe sometimes they have to go back to the drawing board. So it'll be interesting to see how that vaccine comes out. Next Monday's email, I'm going to be showing a new graph on P/E ratios, showing that since this short little rally that we've had from the stimulus package, that P/E ratios are again now out of whack again, and they're higher than the 25-year average. That can only mean more drops to come in the market. The last 3 weeks teleconferences, we've had representatives from three very large money management companies. We've had BlackRock, JP Morgan, and American Century come on and talk with me. All three have analysts and economists with very similar views. Different companies, different people, all over the United States, but having similar views on things. And they're all saying that this is going to be a longer, drawn-out, U-shaped market with a whole lot of W in the bottom of that U. U.S. grocery prices increased 2.6% in the month of April alone, the largest increase in 46 years. Now, that's crazy considering that we are at a time right now when we have a lot of Americans with a lot less money right now, and grocery prices have took a 2.6% jump in 1 month. That's huge. Nancy Pelosi has publicly spoken about asking Congress for an additional $3 trillion on top of the already $2.7 trillion stimulus package that's already out there. And there is no analyst at this point that said that there's any chance that this is going to go through. Short-term events versus long-term events need to be handled differently. So the last 3 weeks, I've had guest speakers come on with me and talk about their company's analyst economist perspectives on current events. And let me give you like a little insider knowledge here, kind of like behind the curtain look at Oz. All of these major companies will tell us to our face that what we have done for you guys, what we've done for our clients, and what we plan to do for you guys, cycle trading, how we're on top of things, not making promises, but looking to take advantage of opportunities. What they're telling us is what we've done and what we plan to do is right on. And I've also had quite a few private conversations with very intelligent people high up in these companies, and they're going to say the same thing. However, from a company standpoint, pick any company, BlackRock, Janus, T. Rowe Price, Fidelity, Vanguard, all these great companies that are out there, they will all preach to us, preach to you, preach to me as a financial advisor to stay invested and stay diversified. You know, getting out of the market, getting in the market, you know, don't do that. You should always stay diversified. Because at the end of the day, they really don't want clients taking any money out of their accounts. Even though they know that we will, like for in our case, we will take our money out of their accounts and we plan to reinvest it once the market is right and the timing is right for us to do that, they're not going to say that. And so the average advisor is not like us. The average investor who does it themselves, what we call the do-it-yourselfers, they don't do that. And so that advice to stay diversified and adjust your asset allocation is pretty good advice for the vast majority. But for professional money managers, it's not the right advice. And they just won't say that necessarily to our face. And you won't hear the speakers that came on the last 3 weeks actually saying that either. So stay in the market and writing it out, that's what other advisors do, and that's what their home offices tell them to do. I sometimes like to say that's a lazy financial advisor's way of doing things, or maybe the financial advisor has a home office that kind of controls them and pulls their strings and tells them what they can and can't do. Sometimes advisors, they don't have the staff. They don't have the brilliant people working for them that we have here at Affinity Asset Management. They certainly don't have the technology for the brilliant people to use. So they just don't have those things. So in normal years, like pick on 2019, that was a really good year. The stock market was up 26%. But in even good years like that, there's always going to be bumps in the road that causes the markets to react and go down. And that's the time when, yes, we're going to stay in, we're going to stay diversified, we're going to ride out those little bumps. I'm just saying that, however, with the coronavirus and the whole stay-at-home order and literally a complete country shutdown, this is just way different. And we're going to spend a long time climbing out of this. I've had a couple people now reference to me that if you guys can picture the Nike swoosh, you know, the Nike shoes, the swoosh, that's what the market rebound is going to look like. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be slow to climb out. It's not going to be straight coming up. So a Nike swoosh is kind of maybe a good visual way to think about things. Effective yesterday, the Federal Reserve started their corporate bond ETF buying back program. Now, this is what we expected. This is what they announced. And this will continue to fuel the bond markets and, more specifically, our bond models that you and I are currently in. So that went into effect yesterday. And remember China and all the tariff taxes that was we were going through all of, you know, for part of 18 and 19, 2018 and 2019. You remember the market volatility that created? Now, that smoothed out once the announcement, the deal was agreed upon, and the first of the two deals was signed, knowing that the second deal will be signed after the first one's completed. Now, I think what's going to happen here is this year we're going to start to see trade talks with China being resurfaced this year. Thus, that'll cause more volatility coming up this year. Now, this is an election year, and election years always create volatility. It just always does. So this is kind of what you can expect. The existing person, in this case President Trump, will always be on the defense. And the up-and-comer, being Biden and the Democrats, they're always going to be on the offense. And it's always going to be what President Trump didn't do fast enough, what he did too much of, what he didn't do enough of. It's always going to be about that. And Trump is going to have to constantly defend it. And that negative bantering back and forth, that negative vibe, the commercials that we're going to hear on TV, hello, my name is Joe Biden, and I approve this message. And then you hear another voice come on, and it's not about Joe Biden's beliefs. It's about what's wrong with Trump. And vice versa, you're going to hear the same thing with Trump. It's just negative, negative, negative news, and that's going to create more volatility this year as well. One of the questions that we get from folks is, you know, when's Affinity Asset Management looking to get back into stocks? Again, having a short little rally from the optimism surrounding the stimulus package and just, let's just say, the enthusiasm towards, man, our government is stepping in. They've dropped interest rates. They gave us $2.7 trillion in basically two different packages. You put all that together, people feel good about things. And I've had clients say, Mark, do you have a plan? Because the market's kind of come back up. Well, it did on a rally. But again, lots of rallies happen after a big drop. And there's also a lot more drops still to come. We do have a plan in place. We have researched, we've simulated models, back-tested everything, got compliance approval. We know what our plan is going to be. What we don't know is when to implement that plan. We don't have that bullseye of what the stock market needs to do before we're going to implement something. Because literally, it's for us at Affinity Asset Management, it is a day-by-day basis. So we had a meeting this morning with our investment committee, and we meet weekly on these things, talking about stuff. And all seven of us on our investment committee in our combined 133 years, this is just what we do all day. And it's not just – we're not very good, the seven of us, at turning off, going home, and being with our family. In times like this, when news is so crazy and the markets are so crazy, we are watching our phone and we are checking the news even after hours because this affects all of us. It affects our own money. It affects our clients' money. It affects our careers. It affects all of us. So it's a day-by-day basis. We're going to see when the market has a dip and we go from data point three to data point four, how fast did we drop? How many days did it take? And literally, it's going to be probably a 24-hour decision. When we make the decision that we're going to take the advantage and buy back in to part of our portfolio and buy into some stocks with that, it's probably going to be within 24 hours of actually placing that trade. So it's going to be quick. And we're not going to have time to make pre-announcements to everybody. We're going to do it because that's in the best interest of your accounts. It's in the best interest of everybody. And as fiduciaries, we got to take everything that we do to your best interest. And so we'll blast out another email right afterwards saying, hey, this is what we did, and this is why we did it. We will never know if that day is the best day to get bought in. It's going to be a better day. It's going to be a better day than today. But we won't know if it's the best day until enough days pass, enough weeks pass, and you can stop and look back and see, ah, that data point was actually right here, and you miss it by a couple of days. We know that you know. We don't have a crystal ball. We'll never sell on the highest day possible. We'll never buy on the lowest day possible. We know that you know that. But we're active, and we're going to be doing something. So I want to remind you guys of our thank yous to you, our praise back to you for your patience. I appreciate your trust in us. But we're going to do what the market gives us to do, but we're going to react to it quickly so that we can be proactive and not sit around and do a whole lot of nothing. I just want to kind of give you some confidence in that. Let me share some facts with you. Coronavirus cases globally, now up to 4.3 million with 293,000 deaths. Here in the U.S., we have 1.4 million cases. Last week, we were at 1.2. We're up 170,000 cases just since last week. That's a 13.7% increase. Deaths went from 72,000 last week to 83,000. This week, we're up 11,170 in deaths. That's a 15.4% increase in deaths. I still just don't understand the concept of this flattening of the curve that is mentioned so often when I see these numbers climbing every week that I report this, every email, every teleconference. In Kansas, 7,200 cases, 184 deaths. Missouri, 10,000 cases, 531 deaths. Missouri and Kansas clearly has not been hit nearly as hard as the rest of the United States. Moving on to the section on highlights from analysts and economists, and in the spirit of keeping you educated, there's a lot of analysts and economists we get data from a lot of different companies, and it's easy to kind of constantly go back and pick on the same analyst information and talk to you just about the newest thing and the newest thing and the newest thing that they're saying. This week, I just wanted to reach out and kind of talk to you about some other analysts and economists that we get data from, but just not the ones that we've reported to you just yet. So I'm going to share some new folks, some new companies with you. So from Invesco, which is a nice company, this is from them. History has taught us that the market bottoming is a three-phase process. Phase one is the extreme volatility and fast and quick drawdowns, and sentiments get very weak. And that probably sounds familiar. Phase two is what we're currently in right now, where you see a temporary price reversal, little rally that we got. Phase three, markets tend to retest bottoms. Now, does the market retesting mean that we're going to see new market lows? So we went back and looked at eight different recession bear markets and found that half of them reset an all-new low and half of them didn't. Either way, phase three goes back down again. And that's what we've been saying. That's going to be like our data point four. All right, Franklin Templeton. This is from a conference call with Franklin Templeton with Stephen Dover. The news tail is wagging the market dog. They see a non-uniform W recovery, and that's what we've been saying, W, multiple shaped Ws. Globalization will likely change and more nationalization. Supply chains will change from just in time to just in case. That's how supply chains will be, just in case. From Northern Trust. All right, Northern Trust believes equity markets are overestimating the resiliency of the economy. Equity markets have recently rallied from its March 23rd low. However, this particular recovery overlooks the issue that this pandemic has created winners and losers and is weighing particularly hard on small to mid-sized businesses. Northern Trust believes markets will not appropriately take into account the economic disruption caused by the virus, particularly the disruption of social distancing measures and the risk of a second wave of cases. That being said, financial markets will still receive some support from the lower interest rate environment that we're in and financial and monetary policy measures, which is basically the Band-Aid approach. Government comes out with a 2.2 and then added almost another $500,000 stimulus package on top. Here's 2.7 put out there. That's a Band-Aid. Remember, the economy moves on a yearly basis on about $21 trillion a year. This was $2.7 trillion. This is like a month and a half Band-Aid, which will ultimately be spent soon. From David Rosenberg, who's an economist with Rosenberg Research and Associates. The stock rallies in recent weeks ignore reality and don't recognize that the United States is likely entering a depression with a D, facing double-digit unemployment for at least 3 years, secular changes in consumer spending and saving, deflation followed by stagflation. Now, you're going to hear me say the word stagflation a few times because quite a few people are starting to use this word now. Stagflation means persistent high inflation combined with high unemployment. Let's see here. We are in a great repression. This is a quote that I say. We are in a great repression, and the downside risks brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic are not being factored in by a lot of people, he said. Seriously, 80% of the stock market rally since the end of March has taken place on days of the seven worst readings of the initial jobless claims of all time. It's surreal that we got that huge rally on Friday following the payroll figures that the U.S. Labor Department reported Friday, May 18th, that 20.5 million non-farm payroll jobs were lost in April, catapulting unemployment from 4.4% in March to 14.7% in April. Rosenberg maintained that the loss was actually 27 million jobs, not 20.5. When you account for the big drop of participation rate and the errors that people made in classifying themselves erroneously and that they're still employed when they're actually not, the real unemployment rate is currently over 20%, not the reported 14.7%, if that's not already horrific enough. We're likely going to see another 5 to 10 million jobs lost in May, and the unemployment rate will likely probably test 30%, which is levels that we haven't seen since 1933. So let me stop for a second before I kind of go on. The stock market will affect the economy. The economy will affect the stock market. The stock market reacts quicker. When things get into the news, the markets will react to it. People react to it. The stock market can go up, market go down kind of quickly. The economy moves slow. In this case, the economy dropped really super fast. That's what's unheard of. A complete shutdown of the economy the way it did, in essence, with this whole shutdown program and stay-at-home thing. But the economy is not going to build up to speed. It's just the biggest way to say is think of a massive cruise ship. When a cruise ship is in port, it takes a long time for it to get to the ocean and get up to full speed. And that's what the economy is going to be like. It's going to take a long time to get it back to full speed. So when all of these things happen later that we are expecting to happen later, and every economist is saying is going to happen later, this is what's called a lagging effect. Things are going to happen. You can see them happening. You just don't know how big it's going to happen, and you don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but you know it's coming. That is a after fact. And I kind of talked about it last week that you can't get to 4, 5, and 6 without going through 1, 2, and 3. Right now we're in steps 1, 2, and 3. We still got 4, 5, 6. We got 7, 8, 9. We got all these things still to come. So the economy problems are just being reported out there, but we're not necessarily seeing its effects yet. And once the effects of that happen, then we're going to start to see, again, increased volatility of the stock market and more drops in the stock market that are going to come just because of all this data that's going to be coming out. So I just want to kind of share that with you. So here's from Forbes. We've all heard of Forbes. There were 20 – now, this is a little bit of redundancy from what I just said a minute ago, but there's one part in here that's really neat. Well, not neat. That's new information, I should say. There were 20.5 million jobs lost, and unemployment rate skyrocketed from 4.4 in March to 14.7 in April, which is the highest rate and the largest month-to-month increase in the history of this report. What we just had in April was the fastest unemployment in the history of this entire report. Previously, the largest decrease in employment, where we went from jobs to, you know, unemployed people, the biggest that we've ever had was September of 1945. And what we just had in April surpasses that. And we're going to add on to that in May. That's what's scary. That's how massive what we're dealing with is. We're having to go back to 1933 to measure things. We're having to go back to 1945 to measure things. We haven't seen these things in most of our lifetimes. And if anybody was around in the 1930s and 1940s, again, you were probably way too young to even realize what was going on at that time. All right. A company called Seeking Alpha. Now, this one here, I threw this one in because I think there's some good data in this. But with Seeking Alpha, there's a lot of emotions and drama. There's more exaggerated words because they're trying to trigger emotions. They want you to click on them and sign up for their news, you know, their newsletters, and they can, you know, they can use that to sell stuff. But there's some facts in this. It's just it's a little bit more dramatic. So here it goes. I believe that the evidence shows very convincingly that we will reopen, that if we reopen too much, too quickly, we will see an extension of the first wave of COVID-19 and a second wave that comes quicker and more fierce than the CDC already predicts will happen in autumn. If those are the scenarios that play out, then the stock market will react first to a more anticipated economic carnage. A longer, more severe first wave of COVID-19 followed by a second wave would necessitate an even stricter shutdown that likely lasts about 3 months. In that scenario, we could see a mega crash in the stock market. What's worse is that could thrust ourselves into a depression with a D, depression that does, in fact, rival the 1930s and is marked by a period of stagflation. There's that word again, stagflation. If you are a risk-averse investor and do not want to lose a year or two of your investing calendar, in addition to some permanent losses from companies that will just simply go to zero, then I urge you, sell down your equity holdings today, reassess your planned asset allocation strategy for the entire 2020s. They're saying here what we've already done. They're a little bit more exaggerated, a little bit more emotional words, but this is pretty horrific stuff that they're talking about. And this is what we get from analysts and economists that just try not to put so much color to it. They just try to paint the black and white as much as they can, but they're all saying the same sort of thing. So as we kind of get here towards the end, some opportunities, a couple reminders on a couple of opportunities. You do-it-yourselfers, We have tax software now that can integrate with your TurboTax for your downloads, so that's available to you. Again, Roth conversions, you hear me talk about that every time. Community Cafe. Today was our first ever Community Cafe. Community Cafe is something that three companies created here in Kansas City. Us at Affinity Asset Management, First Option Bank, with Senior Vice President Chris Toman, and then the law firm of Stockton and Stern. And we got a banker, we have a financial advisor, we have a lawyer. And weekly we're going to get together and just talk for 30 minutes, just casually, two colleagues talking to each other, as if we're just sitting down together having a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But in this case, we're doing it through Zoom and just having a chat session. Today we talked about asset allocation and the importance of having an investment committee behind us, because today I talked with Chris Toman from First Option Bank, and they too have an investment committee behind them of what they do at the bank. And we just talked about the importance of what they do and what we do and what goes on behind the scenes that most clients don't see, because they just get to talk to me as the advisor on these things and they don't get to see the other behind the scenes stuff. That was a great turnout. It was nice. It was relaxed. We just got to chat. And the neat thing that we're doing on Community Cafe, it's no cost for us. We are doing it through two different mediums. We're doing it on Zoom.com. So all of our clients are getting an email on Mondays to invite you to this. We can click on a link and then join in on Wednesday mornings, every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. And then plus, for the hosts that are speaking, like today's case was me and Chris, we also did it live on Facebook. So that way we have other people that can see this and just have a chitty chat session. Now, today we didn't take any questions from the followers, but in the coming weeks we will. Next week on Community Cafe, which will be Wednesday, May 20th, again, 8 o'clock, we're going to be talking about legal medical forms that we all need to have for the times that we're going through with coronavirus. We're going to talk about having a HIPAA release. We're talking about powers of attorney for healthcare, having a living will. It's these estate planning documents that's more than a will. It's more than a trust. It's these extra documents that we all need to have in times like this, because you never know when all of a sudden you're not feeling well. You finally go to the doctor, you finally get diagnosed with something, and then boom, your family can't be with you. And I have too many stories right now of wonderful people, great clients, people I know who have somebody sick, and it's not the coronavirus, they're sick, but they're having to do it alone. I had somebody tell me this morning that they're down in Houston taking their wife to MD Anderson, fabulous cancer center down there. And literally, he is sitting in the parking lot walking his dog around in the grassy areas because he can't go in and be with his wife during these economic times. And if you don't have your legal documents in order, your health care legal documents in order, then it makes it difficult for doctors to share information with others, to doctors to share information with your spouse, doctors to share information with your kids. You got to have these things in order. So next week on Community Cafe, we're going to be talking about these legal documents, tell you a few stories of where they come into play, and if somebody would have had them, how much better off they would have been, and talk to you about what you need to do for yourself about getting those. So that's what Community Cafe is. Weekly estate planning webinars. I've been doing these now for several weeks on Tuesdays at noon. Our next one will be next Tuesday, May 19th. You're welcome to join. Anybody here is welcome to join. If you are interested in going or participating in the Community Cafe or the estate planning webinars, Community Cafe is only 30 minutes. The estate planning webinar is only an hour. Estate planning webinar Tuesdays at noon. Community Cafe is Wednesday at 8 a.m. Either way, if you're interested, you want to get more information, or you want to get signed up and you want us to email you the link to do that, just shoot an email here over to Stacy at our office, Stacy, at affinityasset.com, affinityasset.com. Stacy, Stacy. So Stacy at affinityasset.com, and we will email you over a link as well as a reminder so you can sign up for that. Next week, I'm going to have a guest speaker with me next week. Big top dog over at ProShares. ProShares is a very large ETF company. We've been working with him for years, and I'm going to tell you something. I have butchered his name every time. His name is Kerwin Kerwan, and I know I didn't say that right, but his first and last name is so eerie close to the same name, and I'm going to butcher it next week when I introduce him. But he's going to come on and talk about the current state of bonds and kind of what the stimulus package of buying back bonds, what that means to the overall bond market, which is exactly what we're trying to take advantage of right now for all of us. He's going to talk about what the new norm may look like. He's going to talk about market disruption and consumer purchasing habits since the pandemic started. So that one's going to be a neat one. And already knowing him, he's a good speaker. I think he's got a good message to share with us. Also, reminder, referrals. I feel like I'm going to just keep saying it, guys. I don't mean to bore you with it. I'm just going to keep saying it because I just want to help everybody we can. I just have an amazing group of people here, and all of us are passionate about helping others. And if you ever talk with somebody, a friend, a family, a coworker that is concerned about what's going on, tell them our name. Tell them our name and number. Have them call us, or if you want, get their permission and give us their name and number, and we'll reach out and call them. So please do that. And, again, we're doing a random drawing, and we're passing out gift cards per our compliance requirements to do so. We have to do what's called a random drawing. So every 10 referrals that we get, and these folks do business with us, we're going to do 9 drawings out of 10, and 9 people out of 10 will get an Amazon gift card just to say thank you for thinking of us, thank you for thinking of your person that you referred to us, and in return, we want to give you an Amazon gift card. So it has to be a random drawing, but we can at least make the odds nice and high and make it 9 out of 10. And lastly, to report here, questions. If you have questions, you need advice, you need an opinion, I'm going to ask you to give us a call. Ask for your financial advisor. If we're not available, we'll call you back, or we can just schedule a quick time so we know we can call you back, you know, in the next day or two that you're available, we're available, and we can get those questions or that advice taken care of for you. If you already know what you want to do, you just need to expedite some service, then that's great. Just ask you to shoot us an email. Anybody here in the office, if it doesn't come to the right person, doesn't matter. We'll forward that email to the right person. We can have somebody call you back and expedite whatever it is that you need in the way of a withdrawal, a Roth conversion, whatever service that you need to take care of. If you know what you need to do, just shoot us an email, just because after these teleconferences and after these emails that we do on Monday, we do get a kind of a flurry of activity because it makes people motivated. They remember things they got to do, and they just keep forgetting to call us. So call us for advice or opinions. Shoot us an email if you already know what you want to do. Either way, we'll make sure that we get you taken care of. So having said that, I wanted to make today just a little bit shorter and sweeter since I don't have a guest speaker today. I think I covered a lot of things. If you have a question, you have a comment, you can unmute yourself by hitting *7. Please feel free to do so. Just keep in mind that, again, we can all hear your background noise, so just be kind of sensitive to that if you would, please. If you have a question, I definitely want you to ask, because a lot of people on these calls like to hear the questions because they just didn't think of the question themselves. But go ahead and ask that question. We'll do the best we can to get it answered, and that way everybody has a chance to hear the question and hear the answer. All I ask is, make your question be a question, not a 5-minute story to build up to that question, just because we don't want to keep everybody online forever. So if you have a question, go ahead and *7 yourself on your phone and unmute yourself, and I'll give you guys a couple minutes here to shout out any questions you have.
Yeah, this is Vince.
Hello, Vince.
Sir, I believe I purchased a Roth IRA, as you suggested, but I have no idea to how to identify it when I go online and look at it or received any paper to show me how much it is, or if maybe I just don't know how to look at it online to tell what it is. Do you think that Pat could give me a call on something like that or let me know where the paperwork is?
Absolutely. Vince, good question. I think if you go out to the website and look at it, it's obviously going to give your account number, and if you have your account number memorized, that's one thing. Missy just stuck her head in my office and says, oh, she overheard that. She can easily label that for you. So from now on, when you go online and look at it, it's going to say Roth IRA for you. So that way it'll say the account number plus Roth IRA. But in the meantime, your monthly statements that you do get will tell you if it's an IRA, a Roth IRA, or a non-IRA. So we can definitely
–
it's on your statements, but we're going to label your website that way for you. And, yes, we can have somebody call you back and just give you a quick update. Hey, Vince, this account number that you have out of all your account numbers, this is the one that's your Roth IRA.
Well, thank you, and thank Chrissy for me, too. She's the best.
All right, we'll do so. Thank you, Vince, for your question.
Bye. All right.
Anybody else? Anybody got a stump the speaker question? Well, you guys are making it easy on me today. All right, if no other questions, I'll end it with that. I'm going to say thank you guys so much for taking time to listen to these teleconferences. I appreciate you staying knowledgeable and educated. Knowledgeable and educated clients have less stress and anxiety when they watch the news, because obviously news wants to inflict those emotions. So thank you for staying on top of this. Thank you for your time today and listening to our phone calls. I hope you know that we take this very seriously. We want to help. We want to educate. We want to keep you informed as we keep moving things forward. So everybody take care. Thank you so much. Be healthy. Be safe.